The last thing we should want to do is the government to print up a bunch of money, which steals from the poor, so that they can buy Bitcoin to enrich us. Like, no, that's not what we want. Question mark. Or fill up the SBR by seizing coins, which is basically what it is now. It's like, oh, look at all these coins we stole from people. Oh, great. That's bullish. No, it's not. That's fucking terrible. The real adoption comes from people actually using it, from individuals and businesses creating circular economies, trading goods and services, like increasing the velocity. This is, in my opinion, what real Bitcoin adoption is all about. The real question is around like adoption and building it out, and really reaching these developers because they're the ones who are going to adopt it first.
What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible, your place for unfiltered, raw, real Bitcoin talk and exploring all the best in Bitcoin and chatting with the coolest people and the coolest projects. I am Guy Swan, your host, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. Proof of work, bitch. Listen to it. We have got an awesome conversation today. I have been trying to, you know, squeeze in little recording times and hopefully still chats to catch up with people while dealing with two kids, which is a wild little adventure. And we managed to get UTXO on the show again. He was the CEO and founder of Nodeless, who I worked with in the past. And I think he honestly has just built so many cool things. And he has such an interesting perspective on all of this. And he is a builder. Like, this is what I love, talking to people who build and use, because they have a different perspective. They have insight into both sides of the coin when it comes to where do we take Bitcoin and how do we solve Bitcoin's problems. And he's not only a good friend, but also somebody that I follow very closely with what he's building and what he's up to. I really just kind of wanted to copy my AI setup off of what he built. We had a private conversation kind of going back and forth on our troubles and successes with building custom computers. But we were way overdue for a catch up and to go through things. And what was really funny is we just started talking and he didn't even realize that we were recording. So we have a really good conversation. We managed to get about an hour and a half in before I had to skip out. Real quick, a shout out to our sponsors, to Blockstream and the Jade Plus hardware wallet. I don't actually do this on purpose, but I just always have this wallet sitting around because I've been playing with it a lot lately. But check out the Jade Plus hardware wallet for 10%. Yes, for 10% off, you can use the code GUY, G-U-Y. That's the easiest code in the world. It's so easy to remember. And if you can't spell it, then don't get a Jade Plus. You're gonna have a bad time if you can't spell that. If you don't know anything about the Jade Plus, check out my videos on YouTube and Rumble and Noster. Little tutorial with a TLDR for a quick setup. And then the unboxing if you just want to see how gorgeous this little baby is. And check out the BitKit wallet for good user experiences and for simple onboarding that's just intuitive. BitKit is one of the best out there that just works and that just kind of leads you where you're supposed to go from start to finish so that you can just use it. Congrats to the five winners we had who got 50,000 sats in our giveaway. We may do another one of those. So if you want to enter that, keep an eye out and follow BitKit as well as myself on Twitter. All right, let's get into our chat with UTXO. We dive into so many cool things. We talk about AI. We talk about his AI business and where that has gone and how the industry has changed. We talk about local versus cloud services and where potentially the hardware is going and, you know, what has been recently changing versus what might be changing in the future. Then we talk about Noster and the difference between what people kind of think it is versus what it actually is and where its highest value use case is. And then, of course, the biggest problem is how do you cross that last mile from brilliant tools created by developers to stuff that's intuitive for a new user and just works. This is Bridging the UX Last Mile with UTXO. What you been up to? How's your computer stuff going? And before we get into like specific Bitcoin stuff, I need an update, man. We haven't talked in a while.
I know. Well, like, I guess just like on the AI and PC building, I basically gave up trying to do that because it's just like the NVIDIA cards that you get with these services that they have, like the $80,000 A100s and all that kind of shit. Like, yeah. My little 3090s are just never going to compete and never going to like give me an output that will match what these cloud guys are doing for like $9 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
So I basically have just like given up on trying to do local AI stuff. And my AI business, which has been like paying my bills for like 4 or 5 years now, is like almost dead.
Oh, really? It just kind of like trickled out?
Yeah, there was like, I would say like mid last year, there's just a huge drop off. I think it's just like, you know, people have good GPUs now. The open source tools are just way easier to use. You don't have to be like a Linux terminal guy to run models anymore.
Yeah, Pinocchio, dude, I can run so much on my Mac now just because of the unified memory. And like just having Pinocchio, I mean, there's just like all sorts of shit. And like I see it as being like the benefit, I think, of like a smaller like company or smaller like cloud thing being provided is kind of like the privacy. But then that benefit is outweighed by if you can do it locally and you have a tool for it already. And, you know, one of the 30 dozen open source tools for God knows anything you're looking for. And you're, especially if you're trying to like use it in like a workflow, you're going to like for instance, like, so I'm trying to do, we've been working on like some story projects and stuff in the background, and I've been constantly doing like WAN and like Hunyan video and like these sorts of things, trying to figure out how I can get like a concrete style and stuff for like simple animations. And it's still not there because that's not true. It's there with a lot of editing and composite work, which is kind of the video side of things, but it's not there with, and it may never be in some contexts, but by just describing it and getting, like, you can't play director with AI. It's almost like a found footage thing. It's like AI is going to give you a bunch of crap and then you find the good stuff and see if you can make a story out of the good stuff. Like, that's how I think you have to treat it. Or you have to be, or you have to do work. You know, if you want to do the non-work way, you're going to be brute forcing it and you're still going to have to do work just in the time and the amount that you have to generate, which means that you're not going to want to use Kria or ChatGPT or, you know, whatever, anything that's a service, because you're going to generate 10,000 things before you have like 20 that are good or 20 that you want to use. Whereas if you're doing something very specific and you have a vision for it and you want to be director, you need local. Because you need local and you kind of need to know how to do film, because you're going to be like, I can see my path to making the videos and stuff that I want to make, but I think I'm going to have to shoot film. Like, I think I'm going to have to go out and I'm going to have to kind of like set up a scene. Maybe literally with cardboard boxes and stuff, but like I need to set up kind of a control net sort of environment to follow and then print a style onto, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that might work, but I'm going to have to break out a camera. And most people don't want to do that when they're using AI, because they're kind of using AI because they're lazy. I can totally see how that has probably driven away a lot of, or just shifted the market so much in a matter of months, and it will probably again shift in a matter of months because so much is just moving so quickly. But I've specifically gone to almost all local stuff just because it almost doesn't make sense what I do with it. Like, it's more of a pain in the ass. Like, I can write a script with AI to do the one job that I need it to do for every episode or whatever it is faster than I can go boot up ChatGPT and open up a browser and punch it and like go find my prompt and copy and paste it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense for me, because like the whole idea is like do something quick and easy and repetitive, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, long rant, but I kind of get the sense of that sort of shift happening in AI.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. I mean, like I started the business in like 2018, so like barely anybody knew about AI, and all the open source tools were like,
wow, was it that long ago?
Yeah, super. Well, like, honestly, I feel like I might have had the biggest AI business in the world at that time, man. Like,
I mean, that was pre-ChatGPT.
Way before ChatGPT. Way before OpenAI. Like, OpenAI didn't even exist with their first GPT models. Like, there was nothing. And it was like, there were open source tools for what we were doing. Like, it's face swaps, like making deep fakes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, basically all my script does was put like a really nice interface and let AWS host the GPU. So that's what you were basically paying me for, right? It's like, pay me $15, we'll make the video, but you just have to like go on the web and just upload, click submit, and then boom, your deepfake comes out. You didn't have to do any terminal, any steps, anything crazy. But now it's like,
how much flow shift and diffusion?
Yeah, but now it's just like, it's free, it's easy. People just like point and click on their MacBooks and build the exact same thing. So yeah, my business is down like 80%.
Damn.
So it's
wild.
Yeah. But the Bitcoin stuff is starting to pick up again. You know, finally I have a business that won't throw me in jail.
Wait, what's your, maybe I know your Bitcoin project. What is it right now? What are you working on?
So the main thing, it's Bitvora.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So we're in the middle of rebranding, because it's like the initial idea was to get all the exchanges to have Lightning. So we made it super easy. We have a regulated company, you know, where it's a registered money services business. So exchanges can work with us. And then we went out, we talked to like hundreds of exchanges, and none of them give a shit about Lightning. None of them. It's just like, it's doing like a bunch of things. One, it's encouraging people to take assets off the platform, which they don't want. Two, it's destroying like half the shitcoin narratives about being a faster Bitcoin. So it removes that. And then three, like none of these exchanges actually manage their own UTXOs. They're all using like Fireblocks or BitGo. And they're just like an API wrapper around it. So it's like, if you don't integrate with BitGo and I'm not saving you any UTXO management fees, why the fuck would I want Lightning? So it was like, you know, went a year down that road of learning that the hard way. But now what we're seeing is like the real driver is having a developer's wallet. Because actually what we've built is the best wallet for developers. Like you can take this wallet, you could connect it with webhooks, with API, with Nostr Wallet Connect. You could set all sorts of permissions, like, oh, anything over 500,000 needs an email approval or multi-sig. Like we built this crazy wallet that you can use. So like if you want to spin up a Bitcoin app, you don't have to worry about being exploited or getting hacked and like all of this. Like we just take care of everything. And that seems to be picking up traction. So that's
that's awesome. I can actually see that being useful with Pairdrive. Because we've been looking at, tell me how this, okay, maybe I didn't understand the scope of Bitvora. So give me the pitch for this from the context of like, I'm making an app that I want to integrate Lightning, and I want to make this so that the user can have that, have control over that. And also potentially, actually, you know what, let's just start there. Don't add too many layers to this. Give me the breakdown of why this tool would or could be useful to me.
Well, basically it's a wallet that can connect to any app. So now you cannot connect wallets to apps, really. Like Nostr Wallet Connect is getting there, but the client side needs to support Nostr Wallet Connect, which like nobody does. Yeah. So Bitvora makes it so you can connect your wallet to your app, whether you want to send a payment or receive a payment, Lightning or on-chain, with an API, which like everybody knows how to use APIs. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows how to use Nostr Wallet Connect. Or just basic webhooks, you know, like you can vibe code a webhook integration like 5 minutes with Bitvora. So it's the only wallet that is like highly connective like this. But it also gives you a lot of security controls, you know, like if you leak your API key or you made a mistake in your code and you accidentally sent $1 million instead of 1 million sats or something. Yeah. Like there are security rules that like block and prevent you from losing money as well. So it's just like, it's a really safe environment to actually integrate Bitcoin without the risk of like losing all your coins.
It's got a lot of connectivity, options to try to give you. So it's kind of like an interface between making it so that you have all those options available to you for how you want to connect to it. Because our intent was to use Nostr Wallet Connect a lot because we're going to try to obscure away the fact that you're creating Nostr keys with Pear Drive down the road when we have like kind of the app side of it. But we definitely wanted to use that or leverage that despite having a sort of normie flow as well. But we definitely, like you're right about Nostr Wallet Connect is the lack of support. Like, you know, it's this constant uphill battle. It's like, well, do you support this? Do you support this? And then you run into like, you have two options, you know, and maybe those options are even decent, but now you're completely restricted with what those two options can do for you. So that actually, yeah, that sounds really interesting, actually.
It's actually a really sick wallet, man. Like, I'm surprised a lot of people haven't tried it, but like the hardcore devs that have tried, like Kieran, for example, like he's integrating it all in his backends. Like LNVPS has run on Bitfora now. Like all the hardcore devs, if you've worked with nodes and try to build an app on a node, you'll fucking love Bitfora because that is a nightmare to do that.
Yeah.
And we just made it like so easy, like just little things. Like let's say you want to send Bitcoin and you're a normie. You could just literally put like, you know, guy at guyswan.com, $5 USD, and just one line of code, and it will convert it for you. It doesn't matter if it's a Lightning address, on-chain address, LNURL, like it just makes it so fucking easy to just get started. So that's like the main product we have now, but we're also just about to launch a reboot of NodeList that's actually done properly. So it's the Bitvora Commerce product. Okay. That's completely no custody. So that's where we use Nostr Wallet Connect. Mm-hmm. So you can have no custody. And of course, like, you know, most people don't have it, but they can easily get a Bitvora wallet to connect, which would be custody. But if you want to do full no custody, self-host, open source, like this will actually work for you. So it's finally like what I wanted for NodeList, but now I actually won't go to jail when it goes.
Having to go back to the drawing board and like and build it block by block again to get it where you had originally planned and not go to jail.
Yeah, definitely not going to jail this time.
That's good. That's good. I appreciate that. You should stay out of jail.
Yeah, ideally.
Preferentially. I feel like you could build more stuff outside of jail than in it.
Yeah, I hope so. Although with this vibe coding, it's hard to say. so yeah, I mean, that's the Bitcoin side. But, you know, there's also a lot of Nostr stuff going on. You know, like I got sponsored by OpenSats to build a lot of these like relays.
I saw that. Congrats, man.
I mean, it's a small grant. It's,
yeah, but it's, still, that's cool. Just honestly, just recognition and a little bit of like your worth support. Like, I don't know, like and you deserve it. So like, congrats. Regardless.
Thank you. It does feel good. If I think like just it was 2020 when I just like started playing around with like BTC Pay Server and like doing little commits or whatever. And now I'm like a sponsored dev and like something like 20% of Nostr relays are running my code and stuff. Like it's pretty, it feels
20%.
Good.
20%. Damn,
it's up there, man. Yeah.
tell me, give the breakdown for the audience on that one. Because I don't give a shit. I love Nostr, and I still think, like, I don't know. I don't know how you don't see the potential of Nostr. I think a lot of people are still stuck in the whole, like, it's social media thing from the outside. Like, there was the thing about Dan Held the other day. It's like, wasn't Nostr supposed to take over social media? And I was like, was it though? Like, social media was just kind of like the app that made it interesting from the outset. Like, there's still like some things that are non-social media that are the things I'm most excited about it, but building it with social media makes intuitive sense to start with. I don't know. But anyway, go down the Nostr rabbit hole for me.
Well, I don't want to breathe too much life into a failed L2 shitcoiner fucking influencer Dan Held retweet.
Oh no, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. It just popped into my head as soon as we brought up the topic.
Guys, so annoying, man. wait, are we going live? Are we like doing the podcast now, or are we still?
Oh, we're totally doing the podcast.
Oh, okay, cool.
Raw unfiltered. Sorry, I had a hard time limit, and I wanted to get it done. I was recording before you even got in here. I forgot to tell you.
Oh, rip. yeah, Noster, man. I truly can't understand at least how people in Bitcoin circles can like not see Noster, because there are so many parallels with Bitcoin. It just does, and it's like, you know, what is more important, your free speech or your money? Like, I actually think free speech might be more important for.
I kind of think they're the same humans. Thing. I kind of think they're interdependent. Like it's like saying, do you want to be healthy or do you want to have control over your health? It's like those are the same thing. You know, like you have to have control in order to be healthy, kind of thing. Yeah, like maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but they're the same thing. Like money is the execution of your speech of value, and normal conversation is your execution of social value. It's like, so you have economic and social value, and you have the right to speak those things how you see fit. You know, if you only have one of them, then you just don't have full free speech. You only have economic speech, not social speech, etc. So that's my thought on that. I think they're the same thing.
Yeah, I think there's something weird going on where it's just like, you know, Bitcoiners, many Bitcoiners, they're like, their identities are tied up in their Twitter profiles and their follow counts. And like the only way they feel special besides like looking at their stack maybe is like when they get a bunch of likes on Twitter. That's just my guess, but.
Man, I think that's a very, very human thing. Like I see myself all the time like, oh man, I got a lot of likes. Oh man, I'm so cool right
this
now.
This one's doing numbers.
And it's like, whoa, God, look at this dude retweeted it, you know? So it's 100, like we're deeply social animals, but like you gotta like step back and realize like, okay, a whole bunch of people agree with you, like what you said, you know, like, every dumb fuck on the internet has groups of people who agree with what they said. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're not a dumb piece of shit, you know, like humble a little bit, you know, like there's plenty of stupid people. You could just be hanging out with the dumb ones, like, totally, like let it go, you know, and like of my whatever followers, at least 80% of them are OnlyFan accounts, especially on Twitter these days.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
No. And I'm trying to remember, like, because we were before Noster, we were on Bitcoin Twitter. I mean, I'm not anymore. I assume you are because you got a show. And
I'm still up there. Yeah.
But I remember there were a couple incidents where we all like mass migrated. Like, what was that? Oh, what was that? I don't even remember the name of the other social, the right wing one that's not Truth Social. What is it?
Gab.
Is it Gab?
Gab?
Gab
was a big one. There was Locals. There was like a minute that like a bunch of people, I even set up an account over there. There was Truth Social. There was way back in 2018 ish, there was the attempt to do Mastodon, which I just was such a mess.
The Bitcoin hackers.
Which it was like great for a minute, but it was so, I never understood it because like that whole protocol is so segmented. Like there's no bridge to anywhere. Like if you're just in, you can't take your stuff anywhere. You can't take your network.
Yeah. Who
you're it's like, well, why don't we just have like isolated servers? Why do you even need a protocol for this? You can just start a website on a server and like, okay, let's just all do comments. Different Bitcoin forums somewhere. I don't know. Like, that one never made sense to me. Noster is the first one that I was immediately like, oh shit, there's like a global here that actually makes sense. And you can just keep connecting to relays and expand your global. And this is truly an open version of it, you know, like the relays are actually open. Like it actually is. And yes. That's why I was like, this is the first one. Cause I tried all of the damn things. I really did. It's just, I've been this for decentralized social media in the same way that I've done. I tried every stupid thing for peer to peer file sharing and storage and stuff. And they all suck. They all have promise. They all suck. Nostr is the first one where I was like, okay, this has something. And not only that, it's also simple. Like people just, God bless people, discount the power of it just works and it's not that complicated, you know? I think people underestimate the ever loving shit out of that. So I don't know, but I totally agree.
Yeah, it's easy for users, but it's also super easy for developers, you know, like if you're Twitter, I mean, I don't know.
No, that's what I mean. Like the structure of it is easy to build with, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's so easy. I think on Twitter, the API is like, what are they trying, like $1,000 a month or something to like use their API? Who knows if they even give you permission to do it. But like on Nostr, it's just literally JSON. No permission, no nothing. As long as you sign it, it's valid. You know, like it's
you can
so
figure
easy.
It out just by like looking at the raw. Like you can just look at the raw. It's kind of like just like a RSS feed format type thing. Like you could just see the different sections of it and what it is, and you can just like replace things and then sign it and stick that in there, and then just kind of like throw it at the internet, and then it would just show up.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's sick, man. And I have relays that I host myself. Of course, like not everybody hosts their own relay.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at my relays and I see there's like hundreds of people connecting directly to my relay to get my notes directly. Like I know no matter what, like that's I can spin up my relay anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's truly peer to peer. You don't go through Twitter, you don't go through an algorithm, you just connect directly to my relay, get my notes directly. Like that's how it's supposed to be, man. That's like, you know, there's another thing. It's like Bitcoiners, you know, we love Ross and WikiLeaks, Julian Assange and stuff. Like Nostr is actually like what could have kept them going and not get all their shit seized. But, you know, they're just still hating on Nostr for some reason, which is just so weird. You know, it's one thing to not like it and not use it. Like, okay, it's too small or whatever. Or I want to connect outside of Bitcoin. Okay, that's fine. But like, why would you hate on something that is like so aligned with Bitcoin ideals? Like that's something that's just truly mind blowing.
The thing that gets me, and I've had the same conversation with people in so many different contexts, is like, you know, I'll talk about like I use the crap out of Fold and everybody knows that. Like they're not sponsoring the show. I use Fold and I talk about the things that I use. And everybody's like, ugh, KYC. And I'm like, but do you have a bank card? Are you telling me you don't have a debit or a credit card? Because that's KYC, man. Like the question is, do you want KYC and get sats, or do you want KYC in the traditional banking system? And I see the same thing as people talk about how like the Keat UI isn't open source yet, or Nostr is like it just has like a bunch of popular relays, and I'm arguing with them on Twitter and Telegram. And I'm like, yeah, but the government has a backdoor on, like, what are you doing here on Telegram? What are you doing here on Twitter? You realize like your complaint about what you dislike about Nostr is like 1,000 times worse in the medium that you were sitting on investing time in and arguing with me, you know? Like I just, okay, you don't have a perfect solution. Okay, Nostr may not be a perfect solution, but is it not better than where we are arguing about it?
Yeah.
Are we moving in the right direction, or are we just saying that because like it seems like a giant and endless battle of perfect is the enemy of good, and everybody's chasing things that don't exist. Like everybody's chasing a Bitcoin that scales to 8 billion people and as many transactions as they possibly want, all on chain and all sovereign, and there's no trade-offs and there's no nothing. That's never been invented.
And it never will be.
It never worked. It never will be because of Jevons paradox. As soon as we actually get to the point where everybody could buy, you know, their groceries once a week on Bitcoin in a sovereign way, people will find 100 other things to use it for, and we will need 100 times the scaling, and everybody will be pissed that it's still not perfect. Like, it will, the scale, there's no end to scaling. That's like saying that, oh, there's an end to what people need in their daily life. Well, no, after you fulfill the needs that they currently have, they just develop new needs. There's no conclusion to this. There's no perfect end story. There's no fully sovereign. Everything is probabilistic. Everything is a trade-off, and everything is just a trajectory. Are you making your situation better and more sovereign, or are you making it shittier and more dependent? Get off of Twitter and come hang out on Noster for a minute, you know?
Like, no, they're too busy, like, with their blue check, complaining about KYC on Fold after they, you know, pay Elon and
get I still have a blue check. I think I do. I think I paid for it. I don't know. I'd have to go back.
KYC, man.
KYC.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, look, I'm a fan of no KYC, but I mean, any credit, you know, you can't use Bitcoin payments everywhere yet until Bitvora fixes that. But
let's go, Bitvora.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. You know, like, yeah, if you're going to use a credit card or a debit card and you're going to get reward points, wouldn't you rather your reward points go up in value? Like, that's basically what Fold is doing, right? Like,
that is literally it. Like, I just want to get rid of my traditional credit card. Like, that's been my only thing with Fold. And I don't even care. Like, okay, you got do it with Gemini. I mean, I'm like, maybe do a Bitcoin only company rather than a shitcoin company. But if you're just looking for sats, they do that too. But like, the idea of like the only reason I haven't fully gone Fold to just get as much sats as I can on just my normal daily life is just because the debit card can't use everything. Like, I can't rent a car with the Fold debit card. I can't do my DigitalOcean subscription. They don't take prepaid debits. There's a bunch of subscription things. I mean, a bunch. There's like five. But there's like a number of things that I just have to have traditional banking and a traditional credit card for. But as soon as I have a credit card, I can use that for all of the things that I can't take a debit card, and then I can just pay it off. You know, like, I could actually go full, like, the seamlessness of actually being on a Bitcoin standard and being able to just like go in and out of my banking, like, almost instantaneously for, like, I think it's like a 0.4% spread, I think is the average that I calculate, which is nothing. It's better than all the
compared
other
to everything else
services,
good, yeah.
You know, like, I don't think about it. I get 0.5% back default and usually 1-2%. So it all evens out in the end, and I get a little bit of sat savings. But I don't know. I just, like, there's, I don't think there's going to be any great leap where, like, everything is Bitcoin and everything is perfect. And it's like, isn't the goal to just, like, constantly stair step there? Like, it's a process. You know, the internet was a decentralized revolution, but is it done? It's been like 30 years, 30, 40, almost 40 years now. Is the internet done? No, so far from it. So would you not use the internet because it hasn't fulfilled its dream? Or would you use it for what you can use it for and then build the solution to the problem in the new place that you're in? Like, isn't that how Bitcoin exists in the first place?
Yeah, no, I'm just going to complain about it on Twitter. I'm just going to LARP around. Well, and I also think, like, a lot of the people who cry about that, they absolutely do not live on a Bitcoin standard. Like, they don't know what that means. They just, like,
yeah,
you know, maybe they buy and they're holding some Bitcoin because they want the number to go up or whatever. But
that's a good point.
You know, they don't want
to spend. A lot of people
don't
use it.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean it necessarily, like, spend it. I mean, they just, like, don't make transactions very much. They don't really use it. They buy it and it just goes into cold storage, which is fine. That's using
totally
it.
Fine. Yeah.
Savings is a, I mean, you can quote me sounding like I'm saying the exact opposite from probably 100 episodes of this show, but also just in the nature of the tools that people are thinking about. Like, if you're not doing transactions every day, you're not thinking about why those tools matter, but they do to me because I do more Bitcoin transactions than I do fiat. And have for years, every yeah. single day.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like Bitcoin is money. And if you spend money, like, we need solutions to easily be able to spend our money.
Yeah. I guess that's why we build the stuff, or I don't build it. I try to find people like you and I throw sats at you to build it.
Thank you. Appreciate them.
Dude, I literally might be, I didn't even realize exactly what, like, I knew of Bitvora, but I hadn't dug into it. But this may literally be much closer to what we've been looking for. And we haven't even gotten there yet. You know, like, we're still in, like, alpha's probably within a few, I'm not going to say a time limit, but it feels like it's really, really soon, because I've been using Pairdrive to sync between devices. It just crashes. It doesn't have any error handling in the version that I have yet.
Nice.
but literally, it's still the easiest way to move stuff between computers. And I've demonstrated it to my wife, my parents, and my brother or whatever. And it's funny because when, like right now, it all just works like in the Finder. It just like works. It just watches a folder and then automatically syncs. But it's cool because we know the frustrations of moving a file from one computer to another. You know, like, that's just a pain in the ass. We were just trying to share iCloud like photos the other day with like five people, and two of like my mother-in-law and my brother just didn't get it. There was an error when I sent it to my brother, and it was just like invite to the album, you know? And I had to log in and do like a captcha in the browser, and I had to go back to my computer. Like, I'm like, this is on my phone. Like, what are you doing to me right now?
Yeah.
And so it was like a process, and then it didn't work for two people, both who have iPhones. And I was just like, this is so stupid. And then, like, I showed them, and my wife is just kind of like, this sounds cool, but I don't quite know why this would be a big deal. She kind of intuitively kind of gets that, like, okay, that might be interesting. But when I showed it to her, because I just had a folder open on my Mac and a folder open on my Linux machine, and I dragged and dropped it to my folder on my Mac, and then within about half a second, it was bloop. It was just bloop, bloop. It popped up on the other one, and I dragged another one, bloop, bloop, you know, dragged another one, bloop, bloop, and I just dragged 15, and it's like, they're like slowly loading in. And she was like, okay, I can see this. I can see this would be cool. And this is just the tool that you build with. Then we're going to build an app on top of it. But like being able to, like, adding payments into that, I think is going to be a big deal, because like so much of what I think the barrier is, making it easier, lowering the barrier to more people doing or providing something, I think is more revolutionary than people think or respect. All YouTube did was lower the barrier entry to making videos and having an audience.
Yep.
That's all it did. Like, you used to have a big broadcast media company interested in your work. You had to have a degree of quality that they would be interested in. You also had to say the things that they wanted to hear. So there was a very tight culture, and YouTube just said, well, now anybody can see this. You can post whatever stupid crap you want. And the old culture shunned it. They said, this is stupid. This is never going to work. These aren't professionals. It's like, well, yeah, sure. But there's also going to be this massive market between you and no media at all that you can't serve, and you will never be able to serve because of how you think about it. And there are going to be 15-second videos of somebody doing something stupid that get more views than you have ever had on anything that you have ever broadcast ever. You know, like, you just don't understand. And I think doing that same thing to quote unquote social media, to storage, this is why I want Pairdrive to actually be, like, you talk about like running your own relay. Like, I would love to have a peer-to-peer way to connect that you have shared other people's relays. So, like, let's say, because that's kind of the dream a little bit, right? Is that you have a relay, I connect to you, and I download your posts. I have a relay, you connect to me. Well, what if I'm, right now that requires setting up a URL, like a domain. And that is a big barrier. That is a huge barrier for the average person. Now, what if all you have to have is one of your computers online and somebody can download from you? And if you are not online and you downloaded it from me, my brother can download it from you because you just looked at it a little while ago. And now everybody kind of has a relay without even thinking about the fact that they have a relay.
Right.
just because it can connect. And that doesn't mean that everybody is always going to be online and all of the information is always going to be accessible. But that's not the point, because you will still have quote unquote commercial relays that will aggregate it.
Right.
So you can leverage that market of kind of prosumers, and now you can actually monetize those people. Like, one of the things that always interested me about the torrent days is I would see people quote unquote get caught, and I would read like Torrent Freak, and you know, when they came in and they swatted and busted people, and it's like, we found 80 terabytes worth of stuff back when 80 terabytes was bonkers. You know, 80 terabytes is still something, but back when that was batshit. And it's like this dingy, it's like my basement, or there's this stupid room full of crap and boxes that I'm sitting in right now. You know, it was just like somebody's corner of their room, and they have like two computers with like stacks of hard drives, and they've just been feeding the BitTorrent network terabytes and terabytes and terabytes of movies and music and shit. And I'm like, these guys did this for free.
So
just because it was fun.
Yep.
You know, like, think about if you could put payments in that. That's a professional enterprise. That's somebody who could actually invest a little bit more, make it a little bit more stable, put another node somewhere else. And all they have to do is make a couple $100 off of that, because they're already doing it for free. You know, like, that's a new market. That's a new market. And we need a tool like Bitvora. Like, we need the SDKs, like Breeze SDKs out there, in order to make that possible, because it has to be simplified so that people can quote unquote have a wallet without thinking about it.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, you could, with Nostr Wallet Connect, so like, you could go into Bitvora and be like, you know what, for file sharing, I'm willing to spend $10 a month on whatever. So I set up that Nostr Wallet connections for my media sharing, and then I plug it into your app. I can now pay, like, let's say I download, I don't know, 10 megabyte file or 100 megabytes, whatever it is, and you're charging 10 sats per megabyte. Like, I don't actually have to spin up invoices and pay an invoice request or anything. Like, those sats just start streaming automatically, and it will never go, you can never take more than $10 out of that connection. And I can just log in and kill that connection whenever I want. Unlike credit cards, you know, you give a vendor your credit card, it could be hard to cancel. Who knows? You know, they give it away to somebody, suddenly you have to cancel your whole card and all your accounts go down.
I just did that. Yeah. I just had to cancel my card. Some stupid scam charging me $2.99 a week. And it was random too. There's one was like $1.98, one of them was like $3.50. Like,
so annoying.
Yeah.
So fucking annoying. But like, Nostr Connect fully fixed. Like, you control all the connections to your wallet, and you could just delete it, and that now that vendor can never charge you again. They can never share that information. Like, it is so sick. There's so many examples like that. Like, file sharing, okay, yeah, that's one, but there's like probably millions of ways that we can do this. And now it's actually possible, because the Lightning UX was too clunk for so long. You know, like, I have to request an invoice from you, and then it's like copy and paste a long string, or get a QR code. Like, this is too much, man. Like, just a one time, you connect, this app's connected to my wallet, I never have to touch it again, and all the payments just flow. Like, that's perfect.
It's kind of what Bunker was trying to be, in a sense, Insect Bunker, which I still think, because of the value of separating your keys, like, I still think the UX made way better, like, kind of a Nostr Wallet Connect sort of UX around that would be killer. But separating that out, like, that is the whole value of all this. And that's why I think people really, really discount how much new networks and things on top that aren't even related. Like, everybody's always looking for a layer two solution or something on Bitcoin. It's like, yeah, but something like Nostr that has nothing to do with Bitcoin could actually solve a staggering number of Bitcoin problems and Lightning problems. And you don't have to build on Bitcoin to fix Bitcoin's problems. You know, so many of those limitations are like, oh, well, you know, well, now you have to have a domain name. It's like, okay, so in other words, you need to solve a domain name problem to solve this Bitcoin problem. You know, like, think about it like that. Not everything has to be a UTF script or an opcode or something to solve a problem. You're talking about not having an easy way to connect and request information to somebody without a third party. That doesn't need that. That might not be a Bitcoin problem, you know? But yeah, without a doubt, No, everything since I started using AlbiGo or AlbiHub for Nostra Wallet Connect has completely changed my thinking about the direction of development there. Like NWC is like the killer app for Nostra, in my opinion. Like, and social media on top of it is just cool.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things coming out of Nostra that are like not social media, like just a protocol to connect wallets to apps. Like nobody's thinking of Nostra with that, you know, but it's so much easier. And then just to briefly touch on your point around like, oh, I need to set up a domain. Like, actually you don't. Like, there are thousands of relays that are completely free and open. You can just use them. And you don't ever have to depend on one, you know, like you want to connect your wallet, you could connect to 10 relays. And if half of them ban you, like, well, you still got the other half. So yeah. I don't even think that's a problem. It's just like, if, you know, like you should run your own node. I think, you know, a lot of hardcore Bitcoiners run your own node, but of course you don't have to, you know, there are thousands of nodes you can connect to broadcast your transactions. So it's not required. It's just more base. It's just cooler if you do, but you don't have to.
If you want to save in better money and you want 20,000 sats for free right now, it's about $20 at $100,000 of Bitcoin. Check out Fold. Every time I swipe this card, I get 0.5%, sometimes 1%, sometimes even 1.5%. I can get 2%, 3%, 5%, even 10% on gift cards with major merchants. Between the roundups, the gift cards, the auto stacking, the sats back on every single swipe, Fold literally does all of the work for me, and it is denominated in Bitcoin, and I have more savings just by using this card than like 90% of the United States normal consumer. I've got a referral link for you right here. Shout out to Fold for sponsoring my work and honestly being the most important service for my being on a Bitcoin standard. I was talking with Parker Lewis about this because he seems to have like a negative Nancy view of Nostra, which, mad respect, I don't care. I love Parker. That's like a common thing that I hear is that like, oh, well, most people only use like a few popular relays or popular clients or whatnot. And I think the perspective around what that looks like from people who aren't using it is skewed by like how people interact with traditional social media, because I literally, like, I don't even use one Nostra app. Like, I'm sure like some people who get onboarded think that, oh, it's just like Primal is Nostra because they just don't know enough yet. Yep. But I literally use OLAS. I use Primal. I use Damas. All three basically interchangeably right now on my iPhone. I use NoteDeck from Damas on my computer. And I still break out Coracle every once in a while. And I have Amethyst on my Android phone. Like, I don't even think about the fact that I'm using a particular client. Like, if one of them just sucks or I've used up the feed or the algo on this, I'll jump over to Primal and use theirs or something. Like, if one of them, quote unquote, banned me, I would just be like, why is my app not working? And I would just go to the other one. And if relays banned me, I don't think I would even know. I don't really think about which ones I'm connecting to. I have like 10 or 11 or something, and I've paid for some, which I don't even know, they're probably up, you know, I just watch my DMs for that. But like, if I got banned or like shut down, I really don't think I would know. I you don't connect to one relay. You know what I mean?
It's very just unlikely. Like, and the people,
it's not
who,
how it works.
And the people who interact, like, let's say you've connected to 10 relays. Well, now if 10 people have liked your post, your note's also going to get rebroadcast to their relays.
Yeah.
So before you know it, your notes are already on like probably hundreds of relays. There's just no way you can get, it's just not possible.
And you basically only need one relay in simultaneously or in like, you and I only need to be connected to the same relay in one of them for us to have our networks connected, because we're just locally asking for all of the relevant information. So if you're connected to 15 relays and I'm connected to 9, but one relay, because I'm connected to yours, if your relay doesn't ban me and you want to get my stuff, you just get it from your own relay, you know, because that one connection will just push through all of that information. And the fact that
the 8 other ones that I'm connected to have banned me. Still, I don't know, and you wouldn't know, because you just need one to get you the information, and it looks exactly the same on your side.
Yep.
So yeah.
And that's basically exactly what Web of Trust Relay does. Like in the early days when we were getting spammed really badly, like I only had one relay, but that relay connected to hundreds of other relays. So I could just go on my one nice spam-free relay. It was just for me. And it's still, everything just worked perfectly. And it was like, you know, that was a weekend project. And like, yeah, I don't know. Noster is so good, man. I just cannot believe it's not massive by now. It doesn't make sense.
No, I think it makes sense. And I think it actually does make sense. It's the same reason why in 2013, I was like, how is Bitcoin not massive? Is that it makes so much intuitive or obvious sense when you're in it. But protocols necessarily develop in a bull bear market cycle. Like, I feel like I've seen this in everything I've dug into with the history of the internet, everything I've just watched growing up, and bear markets are for building. And I just feel like so much shit is being built for Noster right now. Like so much really great stuff that is simplifying it. There's, we had, oh God, I forget his username. I'm gonna be so pissed. We had somebody on just a little while ago talking about Open Secret they're building. This was from, they used to be with Mutiny. God, why can't I remember his name?
Ben?
No, it wasn't Ben.
Justin Moon?
No.
Tony Giorgio?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the.
Oh God! So it's the other guy. The like
it's
one
the other guy.
Guy.
It's the username. I can't remember. But Open
now
Secret,
I'm in trouble too.
Which is making it so that they can essentially host a quote unquote server for you that holds your keys, but that you can essentially audit and know because of how it's built and the. Because of the code that they're running, you can look and see that they have no access to your keys. Like it's basically like a box, like a black box, but it allows you on the user's side to say, sign in with Apple and sign in with Google and use that as the authentication. And in their key store, unlock the secret box where you then request your Noster key. So there's still a trade-off there, but it's a trade-off that if the user doesn't know, they just have to be willing to make,
right.
But it allows them to onboard normies and like I'm going to use the absolute crap out of that for Pear Drive. If they basically deliver on the UX that they were talking about, that's a unbelievably valuable tool because it's a way to give people Noster keys and say, you know, you should back this up because if you lose this, you're in a problem, but you can give them an onboarding experience that they're 100% used to.
Yeah.
You know, that it doesn't see any different than them, but you can still on the back end have everything work. You still just build for Noster, you know, like you don't have to think about it. You still just build for one thing. You just find a way to onboard them to that thing easy without them having to really think about it. Then you train them or you teach them slowly over time while they're in love with your app or, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of what we're trying to do with Algo Relay. Mm-hmm. So like Noster right now, the onboarding for all the apps, like in my opinion, from what I've seen is like very clunky because most feeds right now, we're in this paradigm of like chronological follow feeds,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's pretty much what all the clients are doing. But if you just signed up, like you don't follow anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just blank. But then you go to global and that's kind of a shit show. Like just truly unfiltered global. It's pretty bad.
Oh, what is this place?
Yeah. Like that's not a very good impression of Noster, right? But if you look at any other social media, as soon as you sign up, you get a feed right away.
Yeah.
And usually that feed's pretty good. So we're trying to solve that with Algo Relay. And I think that we've done that. Like it does produce really good feeds and also like pretty good personalized feeds too. Like even if you use Noster for a while, it actually gets better and it learns about you.
Oh, cool. In what way does that? I didn't even realize that. How does that work?
So basically Algo Relay is tracking every time you like or zap or comment on anybody's mm-hmm. notes. I mean, this is all public, right?
Yeah.
So like some of the clients, like
you're tracking me.
I'm tracking you. You are being tracked. So basically just at a high level, we just, you know, when you try to use Algo Relay, and you could use jumbled.social is probably the best client right now to explore it.
Dude, I don't even know this one. Okay. Jumbled.social?
Jumble, J-U-M-B-L-E .social. Yeah, you'll see Algo Relay is right
new
there.
New toys. I didn't even know.
It's a really good, in my opinion, it's the best desktop client. Some people are going to shit on me for saying that, but I think it's the best one.
This is slick. How did I not know about this? I think I know things. And then
yeah, there's so much, man.
And then I'm an idiot. Then I turn out to be just like a.
Yeah, and in the top left, you can see like relay sets.
Yeah, I was like looking at like the relays. Like I can just click on stuff and I can favorite. That's great.
Yeah,
so you global just check the safer global one. Short notes. Oh, this is fantastic.
So good, man. It's so good.
Oh man, shout out Cody. I'm gonna have to explode this one. Explode. I'm gonna have to explore this one. Okay.
Explode at the end.
I'm gonna have to explode. Okay, I'm saving this one definitely. Let's see.
Yeah, so what Algo Relay does is as soon as you request a feed from the relay, it says, okay, which NPub is requesting it? And mm-hmm. it says, okay, who does Guy always like? Okay, Guy always likes these 100 authors. So let's show him that based on who he likes the most. And then I'll show you their popular notes over some time frame. But what's also really cool is like no other social media in the world does this, is if you go to algo.utxo.1, you can log in and control how your algorithm works with the Nostr login. So you could be like, you know what? I think zaps are more important than like. I don't think likes are important at all. And you just slide that up. Or you'd be like, you know what? I want to see the oldest, best posts. I don't care how recent it is. So recency is not important to me. And there's all these different weighting factors that you can log in with your own keys, adjust and control your whole algorithm without hosting a relay. Of course, you could host your own relay, but you don't even have to. You can just log in and control it yourself. And there's no social media in the world that does that. And we already
is this
have
open source?
It's open source. Yeah, this is what OpenSats is sponsoring for me to build.
Oh, dude. I haven't dug into the depth on any of this. Like, I knew about a lot of this stuff, but I didn't know exactly what it was. Let's be reasonable. Just logged in. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Nostr. I didn't have to do a CAPTCHA. I did not have to identify any beds or stoplights or anything. Dude, this is great. Interactions with authors, global reactions, global zaps. Dude, this is so cool.
Yeah, man. You just scroll down a bit. You have all those sliders. You can adjust.
Steal the shit out of this.
It's so dope, man.
I'm going to steal the shit out of it. I'm gonna have to forward Sats from Zaps when we integrate this. All right, I'm putting this in the Pear Drive Pub. All right, we're coming back to this. That's a baller. That's great. This is such a cool way to think about it. And dude, having control. And that's the other thing too. Is it? And I wrote an article about this ages ago because there were these constant conversations about oh, algorithm, get rid of the algorithms. And I'm like, no, you want control over the algorithms. You don't, the last thing we could possibly want is to get rid of algorithms. The algorithm is insanely useful. The problem is that someone else is deciding how to filter your stuff and how to organize your stuff. Like, you just need to figure that out for yourself, or tools need to be made to make it easy for you. And I just don't think people realize that. But like, there's nothing like chronological is an algorithm. It's just a dumb one that is really inconvenient. We live in a world where there is going to be so much content. There already is so much content, but there's also going to be so much fake content that if you don't have algorithms and filters, you will be lost immediately. Like, absolutely. It will just be like trying to snow ski down an avalanche. Like, you're just gonna die, and you're gonna have no experience. You're gonna be like, I should never ski again. This was a terrible decision. You have to have algorithms. There's nothing bad about algorithms. Just in the same way, there's nothing bad about money. You just don't want the state to control your money. You know,
you don't want this. And I think the other thing too is incentives around money, you know? So a lot of the algorithm,
1000%,
I mean, they're designed, like Twitter is a perfect example. Everybody knows Twitter's algorithm is designed to piss you off. Cause you stay longer and you look at more ads. And that's why they do it. It's simple. Like you could think it's like this evil psyop and all that, but I don't think it's, I just think they're trying to make money and they don't care if they piss you off.
Yeah.
So that's
well, they
so
don't even necessarily know if they've pissed you off, you know, like they, if their algorithm is just what keeps you looking at stuff, it's you that determines the quality of it. But if I'm arguing with somebody who said something unbelievably stupid, like all they see is that, like, I engaged, I posted a comment, I retweeted it and posted a comment on that. That was, look at this dumb dumb, you know, like, you know, like I am the one who gave it my attention. And they're like, well, guy likes this stuff, so let me give him that. And it's a terrible feedback loop because they're controlling the, it's like if you like stumbled upon some crack and you just smoked it like secondhand and then suddenly you kind of like felt better, or you reacted in some way and it's like, oh, okay, this is exciting, I feel good about this, and you didn't realize what it was, and then somebody outside of you who controls how often you walk by someone smoking crack saw that, oh well, you were just a little bit happier when you ate that, when you just went right into McDonald's and ate that cheeseburger just then. We're just gonna line people down the sidewalk smoking crack, so you're just stoned out of your mind all of the time, and you have no idea. Like you're being addicted to something because someone else is seeing your reaction and then forcing you into situations to have those reactions again, because it benefits them. You don't see it, you don't realize how potent it is, and you have no control over it. Like you have to be like, it's so hard. I was just talking with my brother yesterday and we spent 30 minutes talking about people we were arguing with online. And after like 30, like I wasted 3 whole comments in a Twitter thread about somebody who thought Bitcoin was backed by fiat. I was just like, this is the most useless way. It's such an unbelievable waste of my time. And why do I care what this person thinks?
Mm-hmm. And you're never going to change their mind.
Not only am I never going to change their mind, but it's not even helping me articulate my arguments because his position was so fucking stupid. Like I couldn't even, like there was nothing to, like, I don't even think he understood what backed by meant from the context of the conversation, but it was just, I was just like, what are we doing? And I'm wasting time on this conversation talking about it and trying to come up with a better argument that I'm not even going to go over there and post because I already thought it was a waste of time. And the algorithm is designed to put me in that state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if I don't realize that I'm getting high, I'm never going to kick the habit, you know?
Yep.
But that's exactly what's happening. Control your algorithm is the most important thing any of this could do. Or focus on, make that easy, make it intuitive, and put it in front of you. And then you can actually change it, because I can be like, this pissed me off. I came here, I got angry, this guy is an idiot, I'm going to mute this person, and I'm going to make sure that my spending time on this doesn't relate to what comes into my feed. And I can purposefully say, this funny meme that isn't about bullshit or doesn't piss me off is the thing that I actually like. Please show me more of that so that I can have a healthy experience while I am here.
Absolutely, man. And it's not even about controlling your algorithm is one thing, but also just having an open competitive landscape for the algorithms, you know, because like TikTok has a different algorithm than Twitter and whatever. And that's fine. You know, that's great. Different people should have different algorithms, but you can't get TikTok content on Twitter and Instagram and vice versa, you know, like. Nostr is actually the first one where you actually could have an open landscape of algorithms on the same content set that can produce greater content, you know, because like subcultures within those closed ecosystems could alter how a dev might build an algorithm, you know, like on TikTok, video like how you interact with video versus text is going to be very different about like what engagement matters, what signals tell you, how the algorithm should work. But you can't interoperate between them. But again, like Noster just, it completely fixes that.
Yeah.
Such a good protocol, man. What are you guys doing if you're not on Noster? Get your ass on Noster, man.
No, there's seriously so much coming this way. And I really think, you know, there's still a lot of people that think that, you know, like I've argued, that's a term that is often just, we talked about something and disagreed, but I've discussed with Noster devs or whatever, who say peer-to-peer stuff sucks or whatever. And I just don't think, I've always found it interesting that the relay side of Noster is not really like, it's so simple that the relays are just kind of like, that's just the easy way to get stuff from one place to another right now. And I don't see how there is anything that really limits it in that way. Like if you had a simple, like PubKey could be integrated into a Noster client. I mean, sure, of course you'd run into the problem again of like, oh, well, how many clients integrate this? But it's not really, just like you talk about, like algorithms can have subcultures and they can kind of segment out and do their own thing and have their own policies. Well, you can do the exact same thing for subnetworks. Like I can have the Audionauts are just like me, you, and my brother and a bunch of things. Like we could all have a client with a peer-to-peer, like they're just, okay, you can add relays, but then you can also add these pair keys and just look there for JSON blobs. Okay, that's easy to do. Yep. And then download those and organize however it is, or you can have your other instance, your pair drive thing, go ahead and organize it based on your algorithm for you prehand and cache it all so it's faster. But you just need a connection method. So I don't see how peer-to-peer is even slightly at odds with this. I really just think a lot of this is going to be married together. And I think all of it's going to be better if it's married together. It's about just simplification of the tools, I think, so that you can find the right combination. Because obviously plugging everything into an everything app is stupid and not a good idea. But if you have one tool for this benefit and one tool for this benefit, and those two benefits create a completely different user experience that's just seamless, it might make a lot of sense to have those two tools in the same thing and have those two become standard.
I mean, yeah. I think everybody inside Bitcoin knows this, that Bitcoiners have a very unique threshold for poor user experience, and they completely undervalue like how much just things being simple and easy and seamless appeals to the average person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just spin up their terminal and just git clone it. You know, it's so easy.
Literally right there.
They never like just think about where the average person is at. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think, you know, if you're talking about like Paradrive or just that protocol, I mean, if I just double click something on my Windows and my files are there, like I don't really know where or how it's working, and I shouldn't have to know.
Yeah.
It should just fucking work.
Yeah. Scan a QR, man. Just scan a QR and it's there. Or paste a link. Click a link. You know? Like it needs to be that simple. And whatever. And I think even trade-offs in the context of that are entirely worthy. Like if you have to trade off some sort of a feature to get the user experience, it is better to do that and figure out how to get the feature in a different way, or spend the time fighting with it to make it work, even if it takes you 10 times longer than you should just to build the feature the right way. Just do that, but just make it work and make it simple for people. And then you can just sell the, it's private, it's encrypted, it's peer-to-peer, it's secure. You can just sell all of that as a bonus on top of the fact that, you know how you had to do these six steps and two of the people in your iCloud album couldn't get it? Well, you won't have that problem here. Like, just show them the QR code on your phone and they will scan it and then they can get the files. And anybody who is online who has them, like, think about it. Like, you know, if you have five people, this was always the beauty of peer-to-peer stuff to me, is that, you know, if I add five people to an album and there's 50 photos and each download 10 photos, but they're all different 10 photos, you know, if it prioritizes just like spreading it out, well, then as soon as I go offline, everybody still has all the pictures, like, and everybody can still keep downloading them. And nobody had to download, people only had to download 1/5 of it. Like the benefit of that. And I just think we're actually solving these problems, and we have protocols, and I can't imagine not wanting to be on the ground floor of the things that are fixing the problems. And if you saw nothing else in Nostr Wallet Connect solves a massive problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a wallet experience that is as good as Nostr Wallet Connect. That alone should make someone realize how big of a deal it could be with the continued adoption and building on top of the protocol. But everybody gets it in their due time, right? Everybody gets it at the price they deserve.
At the time they deserve in this case, I guess. Yeah, man. Like, I really do think Nostr Wallet Connect is basically going to solve the UX issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's very obvious people want, they want to, like, automate their billing and their payments. You know, they do want to just, like, have not necessarily one credit card that you could just, like, steal that number. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have to pay my bills. I want them to automatically get paid, right? Like, I don't want to
not give up control.
But not give up control, not get screwed. I want it to be secure. I want to be able to cancel at any time without contacting the fucking vendor. And Nostr Wallet Connect fixes all of these things. You know, like, I think it's finally where it needs to be, but we need way more adoption. Like, there's so few wallets and so few merchants, but hopefully with Bitvora Commerce, man, because we're really trying to make, I'll show you after the podcast, but it's very similar to Stripe. Like, you just create a payment link, you just paste it on your website. There's no code, basically. There's no API documentation. You know, you just connect your wallet, paste this one line of button code, and boom, you have a checkout now that connects with Nostr Wallet Connect. You can do subscriptions. It's fucking cool, man.
That's so cool. Oh man. Okay, we're actually close to my cutoff time. How did that fuck? I feel like we just started.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should do this again, or we should actually re-up this conversation a little bit later, just to, I kind of want to chat with you about other things anyway. But maybe, because we're kind of at like a 10-minute mark here, what are you most excited about, and where is your development mind going right now, and or quote unquote adoption mind? Like what's your short, medium, and long-term target right now with the projects that you're working on?
Well, certainly my main focus is the Bitcoin business. Mm-hmm. And just really solving payments, you know? So the way I look at the landscape is the vast majority of investment is all going towards, like, exchange, basically, like, fiat to Bitcoin, Bitcoin to fiat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of investment there, and that's a proven business model. Plenty of people are making money, but I feel like the payments is very neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And payments, in my opinion, is what Bitcoin truly needs for adoption. Like, I see, you know, I'm just going to bring it up. I'll get the haters, but, like, I think the SBR is very stupid. Like, this is one of the stupidest ideas ever. Because
anybody listen to the show, this, I have a very similar opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most of the audience is probably like, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't even care if I offend those people. Like, the last thing we should want to do is the government to print up a bunch of money, which steals from the poor so that they can buy Bitcoin to enrich us. Like, no, that's not what we want? Question mark. Or fill up the SBR by seizing coins, which is basically what it is now. It's like, oh, look at all these coins we stole from people. Oh, great. That's bullish. No, it's not. Yeah. That's fucking terrible. The real adoption comes from people actually using it, from individuals and businesses creating circular economies, trading goods and services, like increasing the velocity. This is, in my opinion, what real Bitcoin adoption is all about. And there is very little development happening there. But you also combine that with this amazing new tech that we're building with Nostr Wallet Connect and Lightning and potentially Arc and all these new tech, payment tech coming out. Like, to me, that is incredibly exciting. So my focus is really there around building the tech out, but that is actually almost done. Like the tech is almost there. The real question is around like adoption and building it out, and really reaching these developers, because they're the ones who are going to adopt it first. You know, like it's probably not going to be the baker. It's going to be the website that does the online subscriptions and that kind of thing. So our whole strategy is just like basically ignore the Bitcoin community completely, because like half of them are just going to cry, oh, it's KYC, oh, it's custody, and it's whatever. Shut the fuck up and just run your own node then. Don't bother me. So we're going to go after just like regular developers on GitHub. You know, there's like 100 million of them that have never built anything on Bitcoin. So just make it as easy as possible and really blow them away with this UX. You know, like as a business owner myself on the AI stuff, like I probably have $30,000 to $40,000 a year that I lose to chargebacks and fraud on credit cards.
Holy crap.
It's a lot, man.
Holy crap.
And it was worse before.
Dude, it went up 25% last year.
I don't.
25%.
That does not surprise me at all. It does not surprise me at all. And, you know, like Bitcoin completely fixes that UX. Completely. Yep. You will never have a chargeback again. So that is extremely compelling to a business owner. And then you like, you also pair that with inflation, you know, like if I made $10 a profit all year, but my inflation rate at the end of the year was like 8-10%. Sorry, I meant 10% profit margin. Mm-hmm. By the end of the year, I'm at 0% profit margin, even though I was quote unquote profitable. You know, like that's bullshit.
And those just from the friction and flaws in the system that you're forced to use.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that all business owners can understand without bringing up Bitcoin, without understanding supply cap or decent. They don't have to understand any of that. Just, these are problems I have in my business right now, and I can solve it with this tech.
Yeah.
So that's like, we're just going super hard on that. That's like basically the short, medium, and long term of what I'm like super excited about on the Bitcoin stuff.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Well, shit, we're definitely going to have to talk, because I want to. I think really where, I mean, you kind of said it really well earlier, is that not recognizing the leap in user experience from a traditional audience, like a quote unquote, I don't like the word mainstream, but like a normie, an average person sort of audience that's looking for a tool to solve a problem. And then the developers who build those tools. There's just a huge, huge chasm between what those two will deal with. And this has always been my problem with peer-to-peer software, is no one took it to the last mile. Nobody. And I even find tools today that kind of do what we've been trying to do with Peardrive, but you have to git clone it, you know? And I'm like, do you not get that is a problem? Like we would have used your tool, you know, like, and so there's so many different like limitations, I think, in just kind of like the perspective. And I'm trying to be a part of bridging that last mile to a UX. And because of that, I want a lot of criticism too. And I want you to test it. And I want to work with you probably with Bitvora, maybe, because I mean, the payments problem is a huge problem. And if you can make that work in an environment where you can unlock resources that have been dormant for a long time or have never been monetizable, I don't think people recognize the potential of that combination. You know, like you unlock just two or three things with tools that people have already made and make them easy to use, and subtle changes low enough have massive changes up the ladder or up the pyramid, so to speak. And I don't know. It just feels like we're so close to so many things, because I can see that experience. I just logged in to your tool and then to Jumble with my Albi extension, and it was so easy. And I get that nowhere in the mainstream. Like traditional internet sucks. Like I would give up logging. I wouldn't have logged in. I would have just been like, my LastPass didn't just work by default, but I have VPN on, so it's not. I'm going to have to captcha I'm going to have to identify stop signs or something. And it just, it's such a shitty user experience.
Well, and I think just to build on that too, it's like, because we didn't have a smooth way to do payments, all of these like nefarious business models emerged, you know, like selling people's data and just fucking ads everywhere. Like, I don't know if you've been to a website without an ad blocker, but there's no content. The ratio of ad to content is like 10 to 1. So like just all the experience got screwed up because we can't actually do micropayments in a reasonable way until now. So like, who knows how that will completely transform commerce on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Well, keep the DM open. I want to chat a little bit later. And maybe actually, are you on Keat? You hang out there at all?
Not since the last time you got me on there.
I forced you on there.
Yeah. I'll have to re-download it.
We have a Pear Drive pub now, and we're slowly collecting people because I think we're really close to a release. And I think our tools may have a lot of working together that could be really, really cool. So, either way, I'm going to send you a Noster DM if you're not on Pear Drive Pub. So, regardless, you'll hear about it probably pretty soon. So, let's keep chatting.
Awesome.
Let's keep chatting. And I'll dig a little bit more into Bitvora. I'll have links to all this stuff. I just saved like 6 of them. So all this stuff will be available. Jumble, thanks for showing me Jumble. I had no idea. This is a really cool client.
Yep. So good.
But yeah, any other links, things for audience to check out?
No, I'd say the main one is just really check out algo.utxo.1 and bother, if you're on Noster, bother your client dev. Say that you want this relay in your client. If you want algorithms, they exist. It's just, you have to make noise about it to actually get it implemented. So please do that.
Sweet. All right. I'll do that. I'll send a really bitchy note out and get people to re-note it.
Yes, please. Please. I'll also re-note it.
Awesome. Dude, thank you for coming on. Thank you for hanging out for a bit. I got to go put my kid to sleep. We'll chat probably in a couple hours.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
Later, boss. I kind of hate that we had to wrap that up so soon because I know we could have gone for another hour. There's a lot. UTXO is building just so much cool stuff. And I like how he's going back around and potentially ending back up at Nodeless in a completely different way, because that tool and that platform was so neat when I first started using it. But I am now way more interested in Bitvora. I didn't quite understand. I didn't have a very big, good picture of what that was. So I'm going to be digging into that a little bit more. Maybe we'll cover that a little bit more in depth on the show as I kind of explore the tool. I'm not going to give timelines anymore, because every time I give a timeline, I am just disappointed in myself. And that's stupid. Things are moving forward. Things are progressing. It's getting better. I'm using it. And I'm going to have some updates on Pear Drive soon-ish. And this will be finally available for other people to use. I feel the momentum coming. And I think really in the state that it's in, as long as we've kind of solved the error handling, which is maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, like I think it's pretty much solved. It has been for a couple of days now. I think we're going to release. Pablo said something that shifted my perspective on this. I've been wanting it to be like ready. I've been wanting it to be like really, really good and kind of like full featured in a subset of what I want. Not that I want like a full on app and everything's done. That's ridiculous. But Pablo said, ship ugly, like be okay with shipping something and delivering something that's not done yet, because you know, the value, the feedback that you get from other people is just immensely valuable. And it could also change the way that you think about it or the direction that it goes. And UTXO, like I envy UTXO because God, he just builds stuff. Pablo, like so many people just freaking deliver. And I feel like everything I'm doing just takes so slow. It takes so long. And maybe it's just because like it's in front of me. But mad respect to those guys. A shout out to UTXO always for, I think he has a really solid perspective on what to build and the direction to take things to just really solve problems for people. So
if you're not following UTXO, you 100% need to be. I am so glad that he showed me jumble.social because this is a fantastic client. And I'm very interested in that. So check that one out if you haven't. Then we've got Bitvora, then we've got Algo Relay, and I will get his other links and InPub and all of that stuff in the show notes. You will find those links right down below in the description. And don't forget to check out the Jade Plus hardware wallet, 10% off with code GUY. If you're looking for a good hardware wallet that just works on mobile, the Blockstream green and Bluetooth setup, oof, it's just, it's really, really nice. And then BitKit, the mobile wallet with non-custodial Bitcoin on-chain and Lightning in a simple, intuitive savings and spending wallet setup. BitKit is a fantastic mobile wallet that you can probably onboard friends into, and you don't even have to explain it to them. The app will literally guide them because it's just designed that well. Check those out. Links and details in the show notes. And with that, I'm out. I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan. And until then, everybody, take it easy, guys.